This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Dustin Yard and you're tuned into On The Ball, a weekly sports podcast. With the US Open finally entering into the quarterfinal stage, we have with us my colleague and a tennis enthusiast, Kezad Adajanya, joining us on the show. Welcome to the show, Kezad.
Hi, Dustin.
Well, Kezad, before we move on to the quarterfinalists, let me just start by asking you something. You know, there was a nice moment in the tournament recently where Naomi Osaka and Coco Gauff shared that post-match interview together. Yeah. I wanted to ask you, is women's tennis finally moving away from the age where we just had one superstar in the form of Serena Williams? And what did this whole Osaka's gesture tell you? You know, at just 21 years old, being a mentor to a younger player, obviously just at 15, was overwhelmed by the entire experience.
Yeah, so to answer your first question, yeah, definitely. I mean, women's tennis is now looking beyond Serena Williams. Mm-hmm. Of course, Serena Williams is the dominating factor of tennis even now. But, you know, we've had breakout stars. We've had Ostapenko in the past couple of years before she won the French Open. We've had Muguruza. She has been at the top. She's won Wimbledon. She's won the French Open. Mm. But, of course, she's been volatile as far as the results are concerned. We've had Angie Kerber coming up at the top. She's also won Grand Slams. And finally, we've had Osaka last year. And she kind of demolished Serena in the finals. Yeah. After US Open, she also followed up with a victory at the Australian Open this year. Yeah. Okay, but of course, Osaka herself, her results have been quite volatile ever since she won the Australian Open for a variety of reasons, which we can sit and speculate for hours and hours. But the fact of the matter is that, yeah, I mean, we've had plenty of other players also. Andreescu is one, the Canadian 19-year-old who's she's in the US Open quarters right now and she's looking very strong. We had to look for Serena beyond Serena Williams at some point of time, but I think we now have a healthy mix of players who, if they can just improve the consistency from one tournament to another, they can definitely take over the mantle of the number one tennis player in the world from Serena.
Unlike all of us who enjoy the sport from our television screens, I've come to understand you've also been there at the US Open, Wimbledon and the French Open.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's talk about the US Open, Kezad. What's the atmosphere like there among the fans? And also, it's most of the night matches. What's the feel around the stage?
So, been to the French, I've been to the Wimbledon, and both those Grand Slams are purely day sessions, right? Like, there are no night sessions at Wimbledon, there are no night sessions at even the French Open. So US Open has a night session, has a very thriving night session, you know, with all the marquee matches happen and all that. So I had gone over there in 2016, the first time when they had installed the roof over the Arthur Ashe Stadium. And coincidentally, I was there for both the day session and the night session. One of my matches where I think Nadal was playing in that match. And the day session, night session, both are experiences that you must take. Unlike other Grand Slams, it's best that you take buy two tickets, one for the day session and then come the next day and watch the night session as well. So the energy is absolutely amazing. The Arthur Ashe Stadium is one of the biggest sports stadiums in the US.
Okay,
so if you're sitting at the top
rows,
so you know the players seem like very, very tiny and they seem so far away that you know you're just there for the experience. You can't actually make out, you know, what they're saying, what they need. It's that the stadium is that huge. But we got very good seats because we paid a price for it, but we got good seats and it was an amazing experience. I mean, the energy is amazing. Night session is very, very different from the day session of any tournament, including US Open. It starts at about 7 o'clock in the night. The sun is coming down. It's summer. And you see the New York skyline from the Arthur Ashe Stadium. So it's beautiful, beautiful.
Do the conditions differ, Kezad, though, when the players are playing in the day to the night session?
Conditions do differ because the temperature kind of drops a little bit because it's an outdoor event. So in the night session, it also depends on how much time the first. So there are two matches that gets played on all the showcase courts during the night session. So if the first match is a three setter or a five setter, depending upon who is playing, and if it really goes to the distance, then the night session can get really late. So it can get over at 2 o'clock. I think some of the matches have got over at 3 o'clock also in the morning. I think it's more of the case of the marquee matches. The marquee matches generally they get pushed to the night session, so that people who are working during the day, then they can come and enjoy the matches in the night. So, which is why the marquee matches are always kept towards the evening session.
Well, that's a nice insight into the US Open, which we wouldn't get the privilege to experience. Moving on to the current tournament, Kezad. So, in the men's draw, we'll be having the first quarterfinals today. And we have Stan Wawrinka, who's playing against Daniil Medvedev. So, Medvedev has been gaining this bad boy image in the tournament.
He's the new bad guy now. Had Kyrgios. Has dominated the last 2 months. I think Medvedev is very keen to take on the title.
But it's also interesting with the way he's been trolling the fans in his post-match comment, that little dance after the match, which he did later accept that, you know, I need to be sometimes better on court. I said that I'm better off court. And Wawrinka got past Djokovic, which many people would not have expected. I think we were looking forward to a Djokovic-Federer semi-final clash. How do you think this match might play out, Kezar?
I think it's a very good match. It's something that you need to watch out for, because Medvedev is right at the top of his game right now. He's played really very well in all the three tournaments leading to the US Open. He's won one of them. So Medvedev is on a high. Okay, and he has shown that you know, the crowd doesn't really get to him, because the US Open crowd can be very partisan. It can be also very aggressive. It can be very loud. And US Open is that kind of a tournament where, you know, even when the points are going on, the stadium is so huge that you'd always find some people walking about. You'd always find some sounds coming about, you know. It's a huge stadium. It's not like Wimbledon when you are there in the center court. It's pin drop silence. So it's a lot of pressure for players to play consistently 7 matches in a row and win the US Open. Medvedev has shown that, you know, despite the crowd booing him, he still is at the top of his game and he can still retaliate, he can still play well. Okay, and he's up against Wawrinka. Wawrinka is a great fighter.
Yeah.
You are never sure that you won the match till you've played the last point and actually won the point against Wawrinka. And I think even though Djokovic withdrew against Wawrinka, Wawrinka was still 2 sets up.
So that already seemed on course to victory.
So I mean, well, not against Djokovic, because he's, if you remember, he still saved 2 match points against Federer. Against Djokovic, you still can't be sure. But still, that match ought to give him a lot of confidence to Wawrinka, because he's coming off an injury late year in 2018. Late 2017. So he's playing quite well. I think that match could give us some fireworks.
Yeah, and I guess the only career meeting between them two was when Medvedev got the better of Wawrinka in Wimbledon in 2017. Okay. So they are saying that if it stretches to more than 3 sets, Medvedev could have the upper hand with his energy on court.
Yes, and especially Wawrinka is also coming off an injury clad kind of a season. So it gives an edge to Medvedev. Especially he's had some very good results this summer in the other tournaments in Cincinnati, in Toronto. So he's had decent results.
And well, the winner of this tie will be facing the winner of the Federer versus Gregor Dimitrov quarterfinal in the other side. And Federer is now gunning for his 21st title, as we all know. And he's been looking good in this tournament, right? I think the first 2 matches were 4-setters, and then he went on to win the next 2 in 3 sets. And Dimitrov, of course, it's his first US Open quarterfinal. It's been a tough season for him, but, you know, here he's trying to stage a comeback. What do you think about this fixture?
So he's come to the quarterfinals very quietly. You know, there's not been too much of buzz or attention on Dimitrov. All the attention has gone to players like Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, Medvedev. Dimitrov was, you know, by the end of 2017, he was quite a force to reckon with. He won the Nikko ATP Finals, the final tournament of the top 8 players in that particular year. So he won that tournament in 2017, along with, I think, 3 other titles that year. And then 2018, he was flat out. He didn't win anything. So he's been struggling. He's ranked 78 now, which is, you know, a former top 10 player now ranked 78. So Dimitrov, in his own way, he's trying to sort of make a comeback. He's won 12 matches in this year. He's lost 15 matches in this year. So his win-loss record is not great at all this year. So he's trying to stage a comeback. But Federer is at the top of his game. It's going to take a lot out of Dimitrov to sort of get the better of Federer in that match.
So how far do you see Federer going in this tournament, Kezar?
I think Federer has the potential to go to the finals all the way. And
could we see a Federer-Nadal final once again?
Yeah, could be. So chances are very... I mean, fans would obviously want to see a Federer-Nadal final. how many years do we have more to see now on the draw, right? And I think it also speaks well of Federer because after disappointing loss of Wimbledon, and that had to hurt because he had two match points against Djokovic, that would have been a huge, huge win.
He did seem a bit shattered after that.
Yes, he did seem a bit shattered. But I think this match also could give him a bit of confidence coming all the way to the semi-finals.
Yeah.
And if he manages to get the better of his semi-final opponent, I think he would have a good chance to go in deep.
Well, let me throw some numbers for the fans though. So Roger Federer's combined record on hard courts against the other three players in this pool is 26-0. He leads 17-0 to Wawrinka, 6-0 against Dimitrov, and 3-0 against Medvedev on hard court.
He's won US Open 5 straight times.
Yes. I think his path to the final seems pretty straightforward. You're going by past results, but then you again never know what happens.
And with Djokovic out of the way,
he
stands a good chance to go all the way to the final.
Yes.
And then we'll see who his opponent is.
Well, on the other side, we have Rafael Nadal, now the second seed, who's going up against Diego Schwartzman. Now, Nadal did show some improvement in his own previous match. I think he served more aces than Marin Cilic, who's known for his ace game. It was Nadal had served 11 to Cilic's 10. And Schwartzman, when he was asked in his pre-match interview, how do you prepare for Nadal, he gave a very simple line. He said, just hit very hard to the lines. Will that be enough to get the better of Nadal?
Tough to say, because Nadal is a tough, tough competitor. Yeah. And I think it was Cilic who said after his match with Nadal that Nadal just doesn't beat you, he takes you to the deep end of the ocean and drowns you. So that is what I think Cilic said, that made that comment. So he's relentless on hard courts. Nadal is relentless.
Yeah.
And he may not have won as many US Open titles as Federer has, but he's a very hard competitor to beat. So again, I mean, Schwartzman versus Nadal on a quarterfinal is David versus Goliath.
You know, Schwartzman would have to swim really hard to escape Nadal drowning him this time. And on the other, in the other draw, we have Matteo Berrettini and Gael Monfils. Now, Berrettini, the 24th seed, is playing in his first Grand Slam quarterfinal. And he's only the second Italian in 42 years to reach the US Open quarters. Whereas Monfils has been flying under the radar a bit, you know, but he won his round of 16 in straight sets. So what do you think might happen here, and who will be?
Anything can happen. I don't have any predictions between Monfils and Berrettini, because Monfils has been around for a long time, but he's not had so far a huge Grand Slam breakthrough. So he's been on the circuit for a number of years. So on a good day, he can beat anyone, including Federer. And on a bad day, he could lose to anyone. So that match could go either ways.
So the stage does look set for a Federer-Nadal final though, if you look at
I would think Federer's draw is a little bit, is still a little bit tougher than
tricky.
Nadal. Nadal still has a relatively easier part all the way to the final.
Well, moving on to the women's draw, we have Elena Svitolina, who is going up against Johanna Konta. Now, Svitolina has reached this stage of the tournament without dropping a single set. Whereas Johanna Konta is the first British woman to reach the quarterfinals at the US since 1983. Well, what can we expect from this?
And Konta has also been the French Open semi-finalist this year. I think they're quite evenly matched. Svitolina has had some success in the earlier part of the year. But she's dropped a place. She's seeded 5 now. So it's not like Svitolina is coming on the back of huge run in the summers leading up to the US Open. It should be a good match to watch, because Konta is a strong player. Konta is a strong player, and she's been known to go to the distance. So we'll see. It's an interesting match.
Svitolina does enter this match with an edge though. I mean, in the past three meetings between the two, she has won all three of them. But then again, we never know what might happen on the day. Might just be Konta breaking that run. And then we have Serena Williams up against Wang Qiang.
That's a surprise.
I mean, she's at 27 years old. Qiang also hasn't lost a set yet. You know, and it would be one of the biggest wins of her career if she beats,
Serena
here. Whereas Serena Williams is gunning to break Margaret to, you know,
equal
Margaret Court's record of 24 slams. So what do you see happening here, Kesa?
Still, I think the big thing is Serena Williams' health. Okay, so if she's healthy, she can win the championship. If she's not, then she can lose to any of the players. So it all depends on her health. But I see Serena at least going through this match to the semis.
Also, it seems like a rather straightforward draw when you compare. Like, on the other side, you have Belinda Bencic and Donna Vekic who will be going up against each other.
Yeah.
So, although Bencic did knock out Osaka in straight sets in the previous game, I mean, what happened there, Kaiser?
See, Osaka has been going through some problems since she won the Australian Open. She split with her coach. I felt she split with the coach far too soon in her career. And she's a great player, Osaka. But even a two-time Grand Slam champion, even somebody who's 21, 22 years old, they need guidance. Okay?
Yeah.
You need guidance. You need constant support. You need a mentor. And I don't know how much of that has impacted her game, but it definitely has impacted her game, because if you see since then, the slide is phenomenal. She slid.
Yeah.
Okay. So the results have been very, very disappointing if you ask me. Look at the way that she played Serena Williams last year at the US Open. She actually beat Serena at Serena's game.
Yeah.
It was not as if Serena played badly, but Osaka played much better than Serena. And she followed that up with the Australian Open victory.
Yeah.
We've had many one-time Grand Slam champions in the past, like Ostapenko and all that. But we've had very few players who won back-to-back Grand Slams outside of Serena Williams. Osaka really looked like she was ready to take on the number one title, and she was ready to take on the number one player in women's tennis, but something went wrong with her and she's been on a slide. But we hope that, you know, it's temporary, and we hope that she finds her game back.
So while Bencic hasn't had beat Osaka to enter the quarterfinals, her opponent Vekic actually had to save a match point to get there. So who do you see progressing on?
Both are tough players, Dustin. Both are tough players, and should be a good match to watch.
And I think they're also good friends. They practice together, if I'm not mistaken.
I suppose
And on the other side, we have Elise Mertens and Bianca Andreescu. Now, Bianca Andreescu has been grabbing the headlines at 19 years old. She's making a US Open debut and has reached the quarterfinal. What do you make of her games?
And she won the Toronto Rogers Cup before US Open, where Serena Williams was her opponent, and Williams withdrew.
Okay.
But nevertheless, she's played quite well for a 19-year-old. And she's also coming back from a right shoulder injury. She last tournament that she won before the Toronto tournament was the Roland Garros, the French Open.
Yeah.
It was in May. And then she withdrew, and then she came back to win the Toronto. She participated in the Toronto and she won the event. And she's been very strong in this US Open. So I'm quite positive about her, that she's one of those rising stars that would fill the kind of vacuum outside Serena at the top.
Okay. So looking at the women's draw, Kaiser, who do you see progressing to the finals? What would be the match you would love to watch, rather?
Andreescu versus Williams. Let's see. That's a match that should be very interesting.
Yeah, and would you predict like Andreescu pulling off another Osaka and beating Williams?
Could be.
It's very possible.
Very possible. But everything depends on how Williams health and her, she withdrew from the tournament at Canada, Toronto, against Andreescu because of a sore back. So it depends upon her health as well. But I think US Open is something that spurs Serena Williams a lot. It's her home territory. It's a home Grand Slam. And she's obviously gunning for 24th Grand Slam title.
Do you think that's playing a role on her game, though? Adding some pressure.
Could add some pressure. But Serena is known to take pressure left, right and center. So I won't be surprised if she actually wins this tournament now. She's been gunning for that 24th title for a long time. And she almost missed it last year.
And I guess it has its parallels to Federer, who also had that struggle matching the record, breaking it. But once that happened, he moved on to his 19th and 20th pretty quickly, right?
Yes, but the trajectories are quite different. I mean, Federer has been injury-free for most of his career. Serena Williams, obviously, she gave birth to a baby.
Yeah.
So it's very, very difficult for a woman player to come back from that sort of a condition. But to her credit, she's done very, very well. And she's extremely fit. She's very, very disciplined. So, I mean, she's come to the finals of Grand Slams. She may not have won. That's quite a feat that she's pulled off. So, may the best player win. That's all we can say.
Well, thanks for sharing your views with us, Kaiser. Then we look forward to an entertaining quarterfinal stage at the US Open. Well, that brings us to the end of this segment of On the Ball. For more news, views, and other updates, stay tuned to Money Control.